I'm excited. We've got a big day today. Everybody listening, God is doing a work, and there's a plan. There's an appointment. I always talk about it, Pastor, but the only thing that's big that has changed a little bit is our reach, right? We're online. We're doing the Facebook. We're getting out, and we're all gaining in the body of Christ a revelation of how that extends now, how much easier it is to get right to somebody without them having to come in the door. We all know assembling of ourselves in the church body is good, but it's also giving us another reach. So our challenge has been get on there and share this, right? And we want to share it. We want to like it, whatever gets it out to family members and people. And here's why. This is what I gained a revelation of this week, Pastor, as I was praying up. I was going, what is it in my heart when I get here that I want to tell them this good news? Hey, man. Because if you people at home, the impression would be, you know, maybe it's so I can see what I'm doing and things like that. Has nothing to do with that. You know, if you've gained the revelation of who Jesus Christ is as Savior, you can't help it. You know, I want people to get that, Pastor. You know, and I talk to my wife and Brooke and Grace and all of you at home and Luke and Parker. And here's the thing. The desire for me when I found this amazing revelation of Jesus is I can't hold it in. And I tell people at home to share that and get in front of this, because here's the deal. Jesus brings me hope and peace and life and redemption and restoration and completion and salvation and friendship and guidance, and all the things that we desire are out there waiting for us each and every day. And the people that are listening right now, my heart goes out to you because I love you, because God loves them. Amen. And when you get yoked up with the Holy Spirit, you'll find out that you love people more than this junk in the world has to offer. Because, and I'm going to go on that line for just a minute. We qualify relationships and stuff about what somebody can do for me or how I look to somebody else. Amen. Doesn't matter. At the end of the day, we really care about people, we really don't. And when you love God, that love begins to spill over on other people. Doesn't make us perfect, but it does make us want to get better and want to love the way that God does. Amen. We're going to learn about that today. So get on there, have people share, because someone is waiting to hear a message from God every day. It has nothing to do with me. It has to do with the Holy Spirit. The extension of God's going to use people today, and these people are going to gain salvation and victory, and it is an awesome plan that God has each and every time. And so if you're listening, I got something fun. So everybody stay with us today, because what's going to be fun about this, it's going to start off with a real simple analogy. Then I'm going to walk us through what I feel like God was telling me in the Word this week and in Scripture, that it's going to bring us a revelation of where we're going. Amen. So the message title for me today was about where we're going. Where are you going? Where am I going? Where are you going? However you want to say it, because really, we're all going somewhere every day. We get up every day. There's a plan in our lives. There's a path that we are following. So to start with, those of you at home, you'll have to be baseball fans for just a minute, because I'm going to start with this little analogy that we see on the board up here. And this is what our problem is sometimes, Pastor. The reason I'm going to get into this today is because we are challenged to figure out what we're doing today. What do you have for me, God? In the midst of chaos, quarantine, other types of problems and things like that, we're always headed somewhere. And here's what I've learned with God is through the trial, through the struggle, through the stuff, if I stay the path, I run the race, I play the game the way that God designed it to in His Word, I follow the instruction manual, and I get on this course, life's good. And it's good, and I have peace, and I have joy, and fear is defeated in Jesus' name. And when fear is defeated and this plan works, on the other side of this pathway that I'm on, there's victory, no matter what. There's salvation and victory in that. So if we look at this analogy, which way do I run? I use this because let's parable this to life. Anyone that's ever played baseball, if you've never played, I'll go back. I remember playing with like 3- and 4-year-olds, and as parents, you're out there, and they hit the ball, run, run, run. They don't even know where first is. Amen. And so what happens is they take off. So they don't know the rules, right? So let's use that analogy in that parable, because God's going to show us this in the life of Peter, in the life of Saul, who became Paul, which Carrie talked about. And we're going to see that as we gain information about the rules that we have and who the author of the manual is, and we follow him, we can actually put ourselves in a pathway in the good and in the bad and the struggles and in the trial that we get victory because we're actually following the rules of the game. And we can't change them just because there's something outside of the rules of the game that we think we like. Woo! Amen. If it doesn't come out of God's plan, at some point, it's not good for us. We're going to find that out too. Okay, so which way do I run? Imagine this. Baseball players out there, people that have ever played the sport, softball. I got to get into that just because we're missing sports. So I'm going to use it just for a minute. If I hit a ground ball and I always run to third base, I'm always going to end up being out. Because eventually how bad the defense is, they're eventually going to throw the ball to the correct base, and I'm going to be out. Amen. So the way of life that we go under is that if we're chasing the world from birth, we haven't been taught the rules, and no one showed us how to play this amazing game of life that God gave us, there's a chance we're running the wrong way. Even when we do something successful, like get a base hit or do something well, there's a chance we run the wrong way. So I'm going to go to this next slide right quick. Here's the path I used, Pastor. I made this little analogy that shows the instruction manual would say go to first. And the world would say just keep running whatever way you want to run until we throw you out. Because it'll never work to run outside of the way that God's instructing us to. Amen. And I love this little parable and analogy. What it says up here, we can't read that in the black. It says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Woo! So the coach at third is telling us which way to go. Amen. And that's the main coach. So I got one more slide here because I'm going to transfer that into life. As we look at this, we got the world in a direction and the Bible in another. And I believe we face this every day. I believe, Pastor, that even though we're saved, even though that we understand this is the manual and we follow these rules, that when we wake up and the world over here on this path is pulling at me and tugging on me and doing this, and we're going to learn this in the life of Paul and in Peter and other people today in the Bible, that we have to make a choice. And somebody listening today is going to get this. If you want to have a successful future, we got to follow the plan. You know, I get to coach this other game called baseball, which it has very little meaning, but it does parable life for me, and there's victory in it around the rules. So what I want people to know, after today, we need to understand by the Word what God's trying to do and instruct us to do so that we know where we're going. Woo! Question for you. If you're at home right now, how many people are sitting there and you have to, and I know this is going to preach to you, and this is going to be good, Pastor. I know this. I know this is going to preach to you. Are you getting up every day and in reality you have the question, where am I going? Woo! Where are my kids going? Where's my family? Where's my future? Today, let's find out because there's a path for us, okay, that's going to lead us through this. So let's pray. Father God, I come to you, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, as we get into your word today. Father, I pray for the revelation of Jesus, the revelation of hope, the revelation that gets us away from fear. And that's your salvation, God. I pray that it would go forward to your people today. God, that it would go into their hearts. It would go into their minds. God, your word cannot come back void because it is the manual. And today, God, we are set free. We are separated. We are going to walk without fear, knowing that you're the author and the finisher of our faith. In Jesus' name, God, bring that revelation to us. God, I humble myself to your mighty hand. God, that today, God, you will just use me, God, in the way that you would 100% so that someone's going to reach salvation and victory and they're going to start walking in your manual today and we're going to keep on a great path, God, that eliminates fear and brings us to a great place because your desire, God, is that we live a great life in the here and now because you're a big God and you love us. So, God, we just pray that over this day today in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so when we get into this, there's two paths we just talked about. I love it. I'm going to keep talking to Grace and Brooke and Pastor. I know there's a lot of people watching, but these two paths, one leads to everlasting life and joy and peace and hope and what we talked about, and path B leads to selfish desire, pride, envy, jealousy, ultimately death, and that can mean death in a lot of ways. That can be spiritual death. That can be getting up in the morning, not know where you're going, Pastor. We can be spiritually dead. We can be saved and not following God's word. We can be walking in fear, even though we've reached salvation and we're not staying yoked up with God's plan. Amen. We can forget that too many times. So today, the challenge for me every day is, where are you going, Mark? Woo! I step back sometimes. I go, man, I've been on God's path and trying, digging in and stumbling, falling the world. The world's pounding at us. If the world is not pounding at us by now with Facebook and everything that we're dealing with out there, then you're living somewhere besides America. Or you're living in, I don't know where you're living, but somewhere bigger than Camargo and Leedy and everywhere else. But I tell you this, it's amazing what the world's pulling at us. So to extend from where Dusty was at last week, Pastor Mark's going to be here next week, and we've been talking through Easter, right? So we're going to start walking out this line. Now that we've set the stage of what direction or where are we going, we're going to begin to walk out what happens after the resurrection. Okay, but we're going a little further. We're going to get into the work of Acts, which is after the Gospels. We're going to start walking out what happened a little bit before, so it tells us where we're going. Because the book of Acts, whether we know it or not, I may be teaching you guys something here today. The book of Acts is the modern day church. That's where we live now. We don't live in the Old Testament. We live in the modern day church. Amen. And so what the book of Acts is preaching us is who we are, what we have, and what we're going to be walking out. So as we preached last week and the week before, we just finished Easter, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So I'm going to ask you a question before we get started. Who needs a resurrection today? Woo. So I looked that up. Pastor, I want to look up the definition of resurrection. What I found was there's many things that tells us. The biblical definition, and I'm learning as I prepare this, God's really preaching to me, and I'm just turning around showing everybody what he showed me. Resurrection means a raising up or rising up, from the Greek word anastasis. In the verb form, it means to cause to stand or rise up, to raise from sleep or from the dead. Wow. When we think about resurrection in you at home, all we think about, well, Jesus is resurrecting. It's life after death, but it has so many meanings. In fact, that's the last part that it talks about here. Rising from the physical death is what Jesus did, right? And what we're able to do, because we know Jesus is Lord and Savior, we've been guaranteed eternal life through his resurrection, that even in the death in this life, I'm going to live eternally with my Savior in heaven. Amen. And that's a big deal. Because what happens at this point is I now have eternal hope. Because I've gained a revelation that cannot be shaken. Nothing can snatch us out of the hand of God. I'm in the hand of God. Nothing can snatch me out of that. And because of that, I have the ability to not fear. Woo! I'm going to say it right now. The command that is read, that is in the Bible the most times, is do not fear. Because God knew that we would struggle with fear. Wow. Here's what I'm going to tell you, the people at home, and I'm going to say it over myself so I don't sound too condescending, you're afraid. Wow. We're afraid at times. I'm afraid at times. What's going to happen to my children? What's going to happen to my paycheck? What's going to happen to my job? Where am I going? Whew. But see, when you gain this eternal hope in Jesus, you get on the mantle and you follow that, this manual, and you start walking that out, it's going to eliminate fear. So here's the deal. I need a resurrection today and every day, meaning I need to rise up. When we read the definition, there's two parts. Stand up or rise up or raise from sleep. See, I've been a Christian, and at times what I've done is I've fallen asleep in that. Even though I'm saved, I know salvation, I preach the gospel, and I've written books, and I proclaim Christianity in my entire life, at times I fall asleep because the world won't stop talking to me. And the things around me continue to get more, I get more of that invading my life that I have to get away from so that I can stop the fear. Because when I get close to God, the fear is going to stop. We're going to get to that. Because I really don't know. The message is about several things today. Where are we going? But at the end of the day, it's also about stopping the fear. There's a lot of things I think are going to happen today, and we'll just go wherever God leads us. Are you dead sometimes, or do you need to rise up spiritually? Wow, good question. I believe we all are going somewhere, one road or the other, depending on our spiritual condition. And then I wrote down again, who needs a resurrection? Who needs to raise up today? I get closer to getting ready to present the word, Pastor. I get closer and closer to God. And then when we get into the world, we get 2 weeks away, 2 weeks away. Yeah, we get away from God. We get away from God and all the work and all the struggle and all the stuff. And I begin to fear. Wow. Somebody's hearing that, and it's true. But I really don't have that much fear. We're going to get to how we eliminate that. Okay, so we're going to look at two passages of Scripture because the Word's going to preach today, Pastor. My goal when I got here was that the Word will speak for itself. And we're going to follow this line, and then I'm just going to go wherever God leads us to get into that. So the two passages of Scripture, I'm going to back up a little bit and go to Matthew 16. It's going to be chapter 16, verses 13 through 19. We're going to put that on the board. And it's when Peter confesses Jesus as the Christ. All right, now I've preached on this before, and we sang it in the song. We're going to get to what we just sang about. And what God has showed me, there's a lot of important scriptures. The whole word without the completeness of God can be misleading. But in its full context, we know that's where we have to apply it, right? And here's the main thing that I learned about this. If I have to preach the gospel, and this is the last time that I ever stand in front of God's people and present a word to Him, and I had to take into one scripture, it would be this. If you want to get it in a nutshell, and you want to make a point, God is going to ask the question that He's fixing to ask. He's going to ask you this question, what we're going to find in this passage of Scripture. So follow along with me. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, who do men say that I am? Man, there's a lot in this. The Son of Man am. Who do men say that I am? The Son of Man am. So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Peter's the one who answered here. And this is why I stand here today. And you're listening to today is because of this. Peter answered and said, you are the Christ. Oh, Holy Spirit, come. Thank you, Lord. The Son of the living God. Amen. You are the Christ. The Son of the living God. I'm going to stop right there for a minute. The proclamation that God is asking you at home today, right now, that I'm called into ministry to ask, that I'm bringing to you from this word of Scripture today, is every day, God, in my life and in your life, to ask you where you are going, is this question, who do you say that I am? And my answer, proclamation through a confession today, is you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Wow. And you know what? I'm done. I need to follow the Lord in water baptism, but I need to proclaim Jesus Christ as my Savior. Amen. And that is a powerful, powerful word. And we're going to get back to it because when we sing that song, you ask me, who do I say that you are, and I say that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So what we've just done is I proclaim my salvation. Wow. Now this is before Jesus went, okay? This is before He went to the cross. Okay, so I'm going to go on to verse 17, and we're going to get back to the Scripture there. Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered to them and said, so Jesus' answer was this, blessed are you. That's what He called Peter, Simon Bar-Jonah. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Wow. See, I gained this revelation, Pastor, one day in my life. No matter how bad I mess it up at times or I try to walk it out the best I can and stumble and trip, but there's one revelation and proclamation that I know to stand here before you today is that I know that He's the Christ, the Son of the living God, and He's my Savior. and into the death. Amen. And his Father in heaven brought me that revelation, and he's bringing it to you right now today. Here's what he goes on to say in 18. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. So here's what he's saying to you at home. You make that proclamation today in salvation, and what's going to happen is, after you're saved, you are blessed. He just tells us that in the Word, correct? So now I am blessed, and on that rock I will build my church, meaning that revelation. So you can put your name in the place of Peter's. That's what he says to you, Grace. You are Grace, and you are blessed. Amen. And my Father in heaven revealed that to you, not your daddy and not anybody else, right? We know that. That's a powerful deal. Woo, going to be good, Pastor. We're getting there. Jesus answered and said, blessed are you. Our flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, my Father in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And there's a lot of people that believe that that was only the proclamation to Peter, but it's the proclamation to you and I, and those that believe that Jesus is Lord and Savior. Because I want to go the path, and I'm going to jump ahead, and I'm going to go the direction, and I'm going to follow the plan of God in my life the best I can. Even if I stumble, I get on my feet, I raise up and get a resurrection every day, and I go around this game of life the way that God wants me to go, with the keys. You see what I'm saying? Because I want the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and nothing in hell can prevail over the power of Christ that lives inside of me, Pastor. In Jesus' name. Woo! That's good. Because you know why? Because my salvation doesn't require me. Somebody needs to hear that. You continue to sit around, people at home are continuing to sit around right now and go, well, I can't get it right. No, you can't. The salvation is a gift. Now, can you start walking it out and get on the path and stay close to God? Absolutely. And start living the overcoming life with redemption and restoration, with God going before me. Even in the things of the world that look bad to you, there might be something in it that's actually good for you, because you may need something rooted out of your life, like Paul did, that we're fixing to get to. See, if I don't have struggle in my life, and have to hit my knee, by my own mistakes, mind you, and my own chasing, running a third, hit it and run a third, and chasing that world, because of my own personal choice and my own personal failure, that struggle brought me to a place at the end of myself and needing a Savior. And someone's going to gain that revelation today. Because really, the call of my life, Pastor, be honest, it's what I just read there. I think why it's so impactful. Because as I start walking out ministry, don't know where God, I may just preach one time here and there and however it works, but I do know this, it's to bring the gospel to people. And it's to encourage people to get set free. Wow. And everything else can go away. Everything else can go away. All right, so let's go on. Point. When I choose the road to go down, I want the one with the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and I can have it here and now. Amen. All right, so I'm going to go on. Be saved. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. This is in Romans 10, 8 through 12. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's all we got to do. See, it wasn't because I got up this morning and I was perfect. Thank God it's not reliance on me, Pastor. How about you? Are you guys glad that it doesn't rely on you? But I do love the fact that God is that good. Okay, so we're going to move forward now. We're going to stay with the Scripture. Because now, when Jesus was talking to his disciples and asking this, and then Peter went on to make this incredible proclamation that we stand in today, because God's asking the question every church service around the world, who do you say that I am? And our proclamation just needs to be, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and I believe that you rose from the dead, and you shall be set free. that amazing proclamation that went to Peter right there was setting us up to walk out the book of Acts. Because everybody who gained that proclamation, that revelation on the resurrection that we just went through, began to preach the gospel, and fire came in. The fire that you hear today, that I hope people hear today, Pastor, is the fire of the Holy Spirit that came down upon God's people, and they went forth to preach the gospel into victory, and the world was afraid of it. Because the world was kicking and screaming, going, "What is this?" Including the church. Because Jesus came in a way that was different. Wow. All right, so we just got through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so those four Gospels, I'm trying to pull Pastor Mark teaching out right quick. I'm just going to slip it in there. Those were the Gospels and then the book of Acts. So the book of Acts is what we live in today, and that's right after what we've all just been talking about each week is walking out this great, incredible journey of the church of Jesus Christ that God built, okay? Why is it called the book of Acts? I did some study and a little research. The Acts of the Apostles is the book's full name. I knew that, but it took me a while before I ever knew that. Its authorship is attributed to the Apostle Luke, who writes what it means to chronicle the events of the leaders of the early church, starting with Jesus' last direct teachings and his ascension into heaven. That's the book of Acts. The Acts of the Apostles begin with Jesus Christ instructing the apostles for 40 days following the resurrection. So after the resurrection, Pastor, you hit it on last week, for 40 days, this is what happens. We go forward, and it's the commission. The apostles for 40 days following his resurrection and commissioning them to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. And it says in the Word, Acts 1:8, the gospel spread like wildfire. Woo! Okay, so I'm going to go on and read the commentary that goes along with that. So I'm going to paraphrase this from the Word. It's from the Word, but I'm going to paraphrase this. The Acts of the Apostles describe the arrival of the Holy Spirit at the meeting of the disciples after Jesus' death and resurrection. Suddenly there came from heaven a sound as it were a violent wind, and there appeared to them tongues as of fire. These separated and came to rest on the head of each of them. The Holy Spirit gave the disciples the ability to speak a number of different languages, allowing them to spread the words of God and Jesus, and thus ushering in the Christian era. Woo! This is regarded as the day of inception of the Christian church. Okay, so what happens right here? The Holy Spirit comes. There's three parts of the Trinity, and we all know this. God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen? And the only person that's with us right here today, and he's here today, is the Holy Spirit of God. And he's a gentleman, and he's asking us, "Who do you say that I am today?" And they're three in one. And somebody at home is going to make that proclamation. I believe it, as we said here, that somebody's going to get saved and somebody's going to be set free today. So we're going to look at an example in the Bible. So what I said was, "Lord, where are you taking me with this?" We got Peter, and we learned about the proclamation of revelation that he's Jesus. And then we're looking at Paul. And the reason Paul, I studied this out very much. I'm trying to stay still so that doesn't pop. So I wanted to look at the Bible. The reason that Paul, or what you say Saul, is amazing story is because the amount of change, the radicalness of Paul's story, because here's the point. It doesn't get more radical than what we're fixing to hear. The transformation of Paul. Okay, so we're going to talk about who he was. We're going to look at example in the Bible of Paul changing. It's about this changing roads. So Saul, who became Paul, I looked up and I studied Paul. All right, and I did it because I've heard all about Paul, but let's go one step further. First of all, his name was Saul. Who was Paul? The reason the story is important, the magnitude of his conversion, how big of a conversion it was, okay? So here's Paul. By birth, he was a Jew. By conviction, he was a Pharisee, the old church, okay? And he was a scholar in that. It says he was from Tarsus, and he's one of the biggest scholar colleges in the world. It would be like Princeton, Harvard today. This is where Paul, or Saul, studied. So he was going to the Princeton or Harvard. I mean, this guy's smart, right? And he is a Pharisee that's studying in Tarsus, all right? By citizen, he's a Roman. By education, a Greek. And by grace, he's a Christian. Wow. There's going to be the conversion. At his conversion, here's what happened. Paul became a missionary, a theologian, an evangelist, a pastor, a teacher, a preacher, and many more things all at the same time. Wow. Talk about a conversion. But we don't know all the bad of where Paul was at. Paul was so ingrounded in the old church. Paul is so studied and versed on the fact of what he was doing in the old church that he doesn't recognize, because Jesus came a different way, right? So we're all about religion, living the old covenant. And Paul's life is just staunch on these rules and regulations of the old church, right? And so he's in the old covenant. He's walking. He studied it up to be a Pharisee, all right? And so when Jesus comes along, Saul, like the rest of the church, doesn't recognize him. In fact, we just learned through Easter, that's who put him on the cross, put Jesus on the cross. Amen. Were the Pharisees, the people of that day, that put Jesus on the cross. Okay? So I'm going to back up just a little bit before we get into Saul's great, conversion, we'll call it. Prelude to Paul. Goes back to the stoning of Stephen. So right after this happens, Stephen's out preaching the gospel and preached one of the greatest messages of all time about salvation. And even Stephen is standing there and he looks up into heaven by the word. It says this. He looks into heaven and said, there he is, the Son of God standing at the right, the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. He is standing there preaching the most powerful. See, we don't hear about Stephen that much. But right after this, what's happened in the face of Saul, the people drag Stephen out and stone him to death under the agreement that it should happen by Paul. Wow. So here's Paul that is doing everything he can to eliminate the miracle of that Jesus just was, right? I mean, that's his conviction we're talking about. That's what he believes at this point. Okay, so we look into Saul's persecution, persecutes the church. All right, so it's in Acts 8, 1 through 3. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judah and Samaria, except the apostles and devout men called Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Wow, a little different than the children's story. Luke laughed there when Mom read the children's story about Paul. It is true. Paul's a little worse than the children's story tells it here, okay? It's Saul at that time as he becomes Paul. Now I'm going to ask you this question. When you get up and you ask the question, where are you going? From now on, I pray that God brings to you, who do you say that I am every day? I pray that over God's people today, that when people get up in the morning, that question's going to be asked. But I'm going to go one step further. Do we go through life wrecking havoc? Ouch. The way that Paul did to the Christian church then. How many of us, when we're away from God, we're out in the world, at our job, at our workplace, with our children, at our school, and we're so wrapped up in our flesh and the things of the world that we are reaping and wrecking and bringing havoc. You see what I mean? Havoc. We're doing that. I find myself getting trapped in that. I don't want to be that. Not the man that's inside of me that God made me to be. Woo! So Saul was wreaking havoc. All right, so we're going to go to Acts 9, 1 through 9. Here's where we come bring all this together. Saul's converted. All right, so we're imagining Saul's life in this road and this split, and also Peter. We're going to wrap Peter and Saul, who is Paul, all that together now and bring it to the final word that God has for us today. So Acts 9, 1 through 9. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that he found any who were of the way, whether man or woman, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem as he journeyed. So he's binding people up. He's finding anybody that had learned about the way, the truth, and the life is what Jesus had just given the world. And anybody who's fallen that way, Saul at this time is trying to get rid of. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goads. All right? So at this point, who are you, Lord? As this is going on, he didn't know. But he's talking to Jesus. Now, this is a powerful revelation. We all get a revelation, Pastor, I believe, from Jesus in different ways, right? I mean, Paul had a specific call, but his life is not unlike ours in many ways. So these parables that God's teaching us about Paul also deal with us. So the next line in that, in chapter 5, after he says, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus who you're persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Now, what does that mean? To kick against a goad was a common expression found in both Greek and Latin literature, a rural image which rose from the practice of farmers goading their oxen in the fields. Though unfamiliar to us, everyone in that day understood the meaning. Goads were typically made from slender pieces of timber, blunt on one end and pointed on the other. Farmers used the pointed end to urge the stubborn ox into motion. Occasionally, the beast would kick at the goad. The more that the ox kicked, the more likely the goad would stab into the flesh of its leg, causing greater pain. Wow. I've been a goad kicker, Pastor. And I was not, you know, and here's the problem. Here's the revelation that I had to gain from this. So I'm going to skip to it right now. The greater pain I caused for myself, because I was kicking the way of the world. And here's what we've learned. If you've learned anything about being in Harvest Fellowship, about being a Christian, and you really know Jesus Christ, you're going to know about his love and that God is good all the time. Woo, God is good in Paul's life here. All right? And we get that God's just a mean God, and Paul's kicking against the goats. He's kicking against the flesh. He's kicking against himself, what he's learned, what he's been about, what makes him happy, what his whole life has been built and taught under, and all these things that he's kicking against is this new revelation of Jesus, that the same one that we kick against today. And that's not God punishing Paul. What God's doing at this point, when you kick against the goats, that's me chasing my own stuff. That brings me greater pain. Now, do I believe that God, out prompting him on? Yes, but you know what God knew? He had a better plan for him. Wow, I'm glad that my eyes were opened. It was by my mistakes and the things that led me away. And man, I kicked against it for a long time. And thank God I quit kicking. But it was God in love over here. You see what I mean? That brought me to that revelation. I want to stop kicking. Amen. Somebody needs to stop kicking today. That means you're going to get it right all the time. But it's God's love. God is good all the time. Saul's choices caused him the pain. We do this as well. We kick against the goodness because of our flesh. That's our mind, our will, and our emotions that separate us from God. And the world is big on bringing us a lot of things that look really good that we're going to keep kicking back. And we're going to just keep hurting ourselves. And so what happened at that point? So let's move on to the next part. Back to the scripture, verse 6, Acts chapter 9. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Woo! That's preaching to someone right now. How many times has someone, and you're listening at home, you get up and you go, what do you want me to do, Lord? I'm tired of it. You're dealing with Corona. You're dealing with the job. You're dealing with your paycheck. What do you want me to do, Lord? So here's Paul. I just imagine Paul's on the road. We're going, what do you want me to do then, Lord? Now that I hear you, you're standing right in front of me. You know, this is an amazing revelation because God had called Paul to write more than half of the New Testament. We're going to talk about what Paul ended up doing. How many times when we hit bottom do we finally stop, throw our fit? I'm going chasing the world. We throw our fit and we just go, what do you want from me, God? Follow me. Oh, so when I hit it, I need to run to first instead of third or wherever else I want to run? Do I need to run in a direction that I quit getting out? Woo, amen. So we ask that. We do that. So the picture that we put up there early is really pretty simple. We need to turn around, which is repent. We need to confess. Wow.
Why do we need to confess? Because we need a resurrection. I got to raise up every day. I raised up this morning. I was more empowered today because I've spent 48 hours tied into this word, putting God in, listening to God, listening to worship, and doing that. And the fear got out of my way, and I got close enough to the Holy Spirit that I really feel like I'm on God's path. I know that I am. I'm not going to say it's how I feel. I do it by faith, that I know God can show up in my life today, and I'm going to hit the ball and run around the bases the right way. I'm going to follow the manual, follow His guidance, and great things are going to happen for me and my children. And what God showed me in ministry is when we know Him as Savior, we cannot be defeated, and there is no reason to quit. Wow, that's my ministry motto. There is no reason to quit because I'm saved unto the death. Amen? Wow. All right, so they turn around. Then I'm going to go on to verse 7. Well, it's still in verse 6. Then the Lord said to him, "Arise and go to the city, and you will be told what you must do." Wow, how many people have to wait on that? Okay, so let me go on. And the men that journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. He had gained a revelation, and I believe, and it goes on to why how he became blind in that. Here's the deal, Pastor. I had to become blind to the world so that I could see the goodness of God. Wow. You can talk about it being physical blindness, but I believe it's even more spiritual. And yes, it did happen to Paul the way that it says it, but I needed to be blind. I had to stop, and I was shook when I gained a revelation of God because I don't know what to do next, but I know it's real. Wow. And I knew Jesus was so real that it was good for me to start figuring out how to blind myself to the world. See, he knew what Paul was going to do, and he knew, kicking against the goats, he knew that Paul had a great mission. He had a great thing. God had something great for all of us, and he had a great thing for Paul. And what he needed him to do was to stop. And you know what he had to do? Blindness came into his life. But that's by God's love. See, when we read that, everybody goes, "God's just so mean. He's goading Paul." He's goading Saul. Thank God that when I was going the wrong direction, there was things in my life that led me to Jesus. But it was because God was good, not because he was hurting me. It was me that was hurting me. Wow. Run to third. I'm always out. Run to first. I'm safe, Pastor. I got a chance if I'm running to first. Amen. What God would tell us, we got more than a chance. We've got victory. I get to get all the way. You know what's great about that analogy? I get to go all the way home with one swing. Wow. It's a great parable. Okay, so confession. Here's where we're going to wrap up and get to today. Peter confessed Jesus, right? And so did Paul. And your circumstances at home and how far you've been away from God are not worse than the murderous, treacherous life of Paul. As far as the east is from the west is where our sin goes. That's what the Bible tells us. So my sin is as far as the east is from the west. And when I go before God and say, "But what about my sin?" What Bible tells me that Jesus is going to go, God's going to say, "I don't see it because the blood of my Savior, woo, covered my sin." But what do we do as people? We want to jump back over the world. I was going this way and there was something normal about it. We jump over here and we run towards our junk at times. Wow. Okay, so Paul's accomplishments after this happens. Paul goes forward. I can't get into it all. What was bad about this could have been 4 weeks. We're going to nutshell this down. But what happened with Paul's accomplishments, once you've seriously encountered Jesus as Saul did, there's no escaping him. No matter how far I start drifting off, or I go weeks without getting the word, or I go days or whatever, and I'm not, and the world's beating at me, I still, at the end of the day, know he's my Savior. And I just want to get up and just gain a resurrection and rise up every day like the word tells me to. And I want him to keep asking the question, "Well, Mark, are you asking me who I am today? Am I your Savior or not? Because if you'll seek me and bring the good things into your life, I'm going to set you free and keep you on the path that I cannot be defeated, no reason to quit." But the problem is, even though I'm saved and doing that, I just get all, "Well, I'm not seeking you, God." Wow. So I'm running around, right? Okay. So Of the 27 books in the New Testament, 13 are attributed to Paul, and the approximately half of the others. Acts of the Apostles deals with Paul's life and works. Thus, about half the New Testament stems from Paul and the people he influenced. But here's what I'm going to tell you. Paul just influenced you today. Only God can do that. Wow. Because who Paul became was an extension of the Holy Spirit in people's lives. God used him in a powerful way. So it wasn't about Paul influencing us. It was about Paul just walking out the plan that God had for him. And Jesus is who speaks through Paul today. Wow. Paul's life was a testimony to that. Key note, both Peter and Paul had gained a revelation that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. At some point, see, they had to be asked. They have to ask the question. And I've never made it this simple before. We go to church and we do it. Really, the question just is simply, when you show up and when Peter and Paul are in these situations with Jesus, what was happening was the question was being asked all the time to the apostles. Who do you say that I am? He's right in front of them, and he's revealing himself to them, and they're just looking at him the whole time going, is he? Am I right? When you read the scripture, and we do it too, and people come to church. People come to church all the time, and we sit in here, and we're listening to all the word, which we have to be taught, and that's how we walk out all the great principles in God's word. But the problem is the question is real simple. What is really being asked of us every time we walk through the door or you listen to the word online is, who do you say that I am? God's asking me today, and he's asking you. Because if you are who you are, great things will happen. So here's what I'm going to tell you. When I preach the gospel today, Pastor, the reason it brings me so much joy is because it's basically an ongoing confession of my Lord and Savior in front of people. I get to stand in front of God's people. And really, I'm telling you, I believe in God. I believe Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. The whole reason I'm standing here really is just to gain that same revelation. I believe he's my Savior today, and I'm eager to confess. Why do I want to ever get up here? Really just so I can confess. Brings me that security and that confession. Okay, so we're going to get on, and I'm going to wrap up. What have we learned? We need to confess. There are 59 verses in the Bible that talk about confessing, some key confession verses. For it is written, it's in Romans 4, I'm just going to run through these, we're not going to put them all up. Romans 14, 11, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess God. This was Paul, right? And Peter gained that revelation too. Matthew 10, 32 through 33, confess Christ before men. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father in heaven. So you know what that scripture tells me? Get this. Key scripture. Confess Christ before men. As I said here today, and I bring that confession to you, we got to go. We got to believe God's word, right? So right now, as I stand here and I bring that proclamation and confession to you, Jesus is bringing that confession to the Father. Because I stand before men confessing Jesus as my Savior. Do we believe that or not? You see, it's simple. We have to believe that, Pastor. I believe that because of my confession today that Jesus is doing that in my life right now. Okay, so Philippians 2, 10 through 12, that in the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of those in heaven and of those of earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So we need to confess. And we're going to do that here in just a second. Conclusion. Every day I am asked the question that determines where I am going. Who do you say that I am? Tomorrow I want to get up. God's going to ask me that. Who am I today in your life, Mark? Do you need to raise up or do you need to go do your own thing? Even though we're saved, we're faced with that choice, right? Or am I crazy? We're all faced with it. How many times in life I have stopped, like Paul or Saul, did I ask the question, what do you want me to do, Lord? Wow. Basically, when I do this, it is a confession in itself that I submit and confess that he is the Lord of my life. Maintain your life with him. Now, here's one scripture that jumped out at me, and then we're going to pray. All right. And there's just so much we could go into. Isaiah 54, 13 through 15, this spoke to me. And I have my three children here today, so it kind of goes into that. It's Isaiah 54, 13 through 15. It was buried in a scripture about confession and about where we're going, about fear. All right, so I want to stop the fear in my life. This whole thing really is about eliminating fear because it's about security. Peter and Paul, I'll trust me, Peter and Paul were afraid. Peter denied Jesus three times at the sword after he had already proclaimed that Jesus was the Lord. You got to look it up. Everybody, okay, and then Paul, I promise you, when he's blind and doesn't know what just happened, he's afraid. So there's fear that comes into our lives. So I wanted to just talk about how God's love stops fear. Perfect love, the word tells us, casts out fear. So people need to stop being afraid. So all your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. Wow. But here's what I love about it. And your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. You know what I've learned through this? Thank God for this, because it has nothing to do with me. I've seen my children have peace through this struggle at a great level. The word's true. The only time I become afraid, the only time, let's finish with that. The only time we become afraid, I become afraid, is when I lose sight of him. Man, that's good. Because you know when I don't fear, what happens? I'm going to ask this question. One last thing. I'm going to ask this question. When I don't fear because of God's love and that security, the enemy realizes he's doomed. Wow. Okay, so we're going to pray. This amazing love, I've got to grab this right quick. This amazing love stopped Paul and Peter's fear to the death, and it can stop yours today, this amazing love. So God's going to ask us. I'm going to lead us in this prayer. I hope we got something. Did you guys get something out of this today? Everybody that's here? Okay, this confession, all right? So we're going to pray this prayer of salvation, Pastor, and we're going to close with this. And my challenge for everyone at home is to, yes, share this, but share the word of truth no matter who's preaching it. I want everybody to be able to find that kind of joy and peace that only God can give. So if you'll repeat this after me, excuse me, and I'm going to ask everyone in here to repeat this. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life. Forgive me of all my sins. I repent of my sins before you this day. I denounce Satan and all of his works. I confess Jesus as the Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me. I believe with my heart and I confess with my mouth that you rose from the dead. I am saved. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Today is my God day with the Lord Jesus. I pray this prayer to the Father in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, if you prayed that prayer, you need to follow the Lord in water baptism, and we're going to walk that path, amen? We're going to start going the right direction. Let's pray and close. Whew. Father God, I come to you, Lord. I thank you, God, for your word today. I thank you, God, that you're a good Father. God, I thank you, Lord, that by a revelation in my own life, that someone was, that I heard the gospel through someone chosen, God, by you to bring it to me. God, I don't even remember that day exactly and how many times I kept hearing the word. But, Father, at some point, I just stopped and asked that question. God, what do you want me to do? And today, here's where I stand. God, I thank you, Lord, that I follow your plan. I stop kicking against the goats. Father, I thank you, Lord, that that even though we don't get it right all the time, it's my heart's desire to be more like you, Father, and to seek you every day of my life. God, I thank you for what you've done today. I thank you for the word that's gone forth to your people. God, it's bind and sealed in Jesus' name. God, until next week, we're just going to walk in your blessing. We're going to get up every day as if God is saying, who are you today? Who do you say that I am? And God, we're going to get up and say, you are Lord. I'm going to follow you today, get in your word. Father, we're going to get into worship, and we're going to just seek your face, God, and things are going to just be, we're going to not fear. God, I love you and praise you for this opportunity. I thank you and pray over Pastor Mark and God, Jada and the and his family, and God, over just our entire church body. God, I pray healing and health over everyone that's listening today, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for watching. See you next.